Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
I don't want to be caught not giving your name praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, welcome to They Overcame. We're here live on air, giving God praise, honor, and glory that is so due his name. And I'm not here by myself this week. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here. My baby is here with me today. Honey, say hello to the people.
Good morning. Good morning. Just glad to be in the number one more time. This is the day the Lord has made, and just rejoicing and being glad in it, as the scripture has said, because God has just been so, so good. And I'm just thankful to be back with you this week. Last week I had another duty call, but this week I'm able to be doing what I would much rather be doing, spending time with you, sweetheart, and spending time with God's people, just talking about his goodness and all that he can do for us. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm glad you're here too, baby. You were missed last week. I was kind of helter-skelter. You helped me out a lot with the broadcast and your directions and everything. So I just thank God that you're back. Hallelujah. This has been an awesome week. And I don't know, I have mentioned this before, but before we get into that, babe, why don't you open us up with prayer?
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you and we praise you. We honor you right now, Lord God, because of who you are. We have so much to thank you for, so much to worship you for, because you are awesome. Hallelujah. You are mighty. You are great. There is none like you in all of heaven and all of earth. Father, we just look to you right now this day because you are our source. Hallelujah. You are our all in all. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray right now your blessings upon this broadcast today. We pray, Lord God, that you let your word go forth. Hallelujah. Words of testimony, words of encouragement, words of empowerment, words of life, words of joy, words of peace, words of deliverance, words that will let men and women know across this world, hallelujah, that there is hope, and that hope is in Christ Jesus. There is no other hope except our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray for every situation that represents every home, every life that will be listening into this broadcast today, whether it be healing, whether it be encouragement or lifting up bowed down heads, broken and wounded relationships. Lord, we just pray that you, in the name of Jesus, will just move in every one of those circumstances, bring about even creative miracles in the lives and the homes of those, hallelujah, that will listen to this word today, and those that will, even if they don't hear this broadcast, but that as the testimonies are shared from those who have heard and just talk about your goodness of what they've heard, let the power just in your blood continue to heal, Lord God, and deliver wherever these words are spoken. In the name of Jesus, anoint every word today. Anoint even the order and the flow of this broadcast. Just anoint, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let your will be done as we yield to you. We yield to you our minds. We yield to you our wills. We yield to you this time, Lord God, to serve your people, to worship you, to praise your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We count it as done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, we thank God for all of the listeners. We thank God for you tuning in, whether you're tuning in on the internet or whether you call in or if you go to the archives and just listen to the various testimonies you're able to listen to. We've been on the air going on 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in November. And we just thank God for the awesome testimonies that we have heard. We thank God for the awesome men and women of God that have called in and shared their testimonies with us to give us encouragement about what God can do and will do in the lives of his people. So we just are grateful that God allowed us to be able to host this broadcast of his wonderful work to the children of men. And we have a testimony, not actually our testimony, but one of our sons, Timothy, was looking, all of us were looking for a vehicle at one time. And then I got my vehicle, and then my husband got his vehicle, and Timothy had a vehicle, but had a slight accident during the winter months and messed up his axle on his car. So he was trying to fix it, and he's done such a great job looking on YouTube and figuring how to fix various things on his car. And I thank God that he, you know, a lot of people won't, you know, venture to do that. They try to pay for it. And when you can do that, that's fine. But when you can't, thank God. I thank God for the internet and YouTube that will help you the various things that you want to do. But anyway, he tried to fix it himself and could not find the right tool and did not want to pay the price to get the right tool because he had put so much money in the car. Anyway, he had been looking for a car and had seen several cars, and we just kept saying, wait on God, wait on God. You know, he's going to have the right car for you. It's going to be at the right price, and it's going to be, you know, just what you want. Don't compromise. And so he looked and he looked and he went and he test drove a couple of cars. And as he test drove them, he wasn't satisfied with them, and they weren't really what he wanted. So, you know, we just kept encouraging him to think God has proven himself over and over in your life and in our lives that you've been able to witness. So just wait on God. Well, on last week, he answered an ad in Craigslist for a vehicle. And when he went to see the vehicle, a very nice car, nice and clean. He wanted to have cruise control. That was the only thing that he was really kind of interested in, because, you know, as a young man and as all of us, I find that I use my cruise, and it helps me not to speed. You know, you're notorious when you're in a car that'll pick up to speed. And that's all he was really, you know, concerned about, having cruise control. And so he went to see the car, he test drove it, and he took his dad and I along with him to see the car. And we asked a few questions, and, you know, we talked and asked the Lord for direction and if this is the right car or not. And he was able to talk the lady down a couple of $100s from what she originally wanted for the car. And he was able to purchase the car. And the car has power windows, power doors. It has, of course, cruise control. It has a nice radio system in it. And it has a sunroof. So we're just praising God and, you know, thanking him because he did exceedingly and abundantly above that Timothy asked for. He asked simply for cruise control, and God blessed him with much more than that, and a nice car, a nice-looking car, and the lady was so gracious and to him, a young lady, that she was so gracious to him and the one that sold him the car. And we just thank God for just his faithfulness. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to wait on God and wait for the things that he has for us because, you know, we just feel like it's imperative that we have them or do them at that particular moment. But, you know, sometimes we just have to wait and we have to, you know, ask God to, is this the right one? Is this the right blessing? Is this the blessing that you have for me? Or am I going off, you know, on my own understanding? And he's had the car for a week now, and he discovered that he needed some Freons for his air conditioning system. But other than that, he's had no complaints about the car running well. And we just thank God. We thank God for that. We thank God for his, you know, blessings, and bless all three of us with vehicles. And, you know, God is just good, and he's faithful. He's always on time. Here in North Carolina, unlike where we're originally from, Chicago, you can get on the bus and go practically everywhere that you need to go. Of course, it makes your travel time a lot longer, but you can still get there. But here, and a lot of places, we lived in Georgia. We didn't live in the city, but we lived in the suburbs of Atlanta. And you can get around in Atlanta, but from the suburbs, you really had to have a vehicle. You couldn't, you know, really get around. And that's how it is here. You really need a vehicle to get around, especially different times. Like Tim can take the bus, and he has taken the bus home, but he starts work at like 2:30 in the morning. So there's no way for him to get there unless he has a car. So we just thank God for his awesome, awesome, awesome blessing. And we don't count anything slight, right, babe? We just thank God for, you know, the small things. We thank him, of course, for the big things, but let's not forget to thank God for the small blessings that he gives to us. It's vitally important, and as our bishop always says, be thankful in everything. Bishop E was big. Bishop Ellis, William, Bishop William Anthony Ellis of Chicago, Illinois, the Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park, is always saying, you know, be thankful for what God. Don't forget about the things that God is doing for you. In all things, give him thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. So we just thank God, and, you know, we're just so happy, you know, that we can come on this broadcast and hear the many testimonies that go across the internet and phone lines. And we just want to, I listened to a awesome, awesome message on New Destiny Ministries. I think it was the Thursday broadcast, but anyway, it was an awesome ministry. I mean, an awesome word. And I just want to say, listen to New Destiny Ministries. Evangelist Adrian Bernard comes on every day, faithfully, almost 3 years now. And she has men and women of God that are expounding the word, teaching, inspiring, every day, 1 o'clock time, 3 o'clock Central Time, and 4 o'clock Eastern Time, New Destiny Ministries, at this same number, 858-683-1334. And you won't be disappointed. If you're not doing anything that's kind of in the middle of our day or toward the end of our day at Eastern time and Central time. But if you get a chance, tune in. You won't be disappointed. You'll get a chance to hear what God is saying to his people. And we just thank God for Evangelist Bernard opening the door for us to be able to come on and do this broadcast on Saturday morning. So we just thank God. And I see that our guest has joined us, so I'm going to open up the line for her, Overseer Patricia Holiday, my dear sister that we went to the same church, actually, Bishop Ellis' church. We went to the same church, and we just thank God for you joining us this morning, Overseer. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for the opportunity to be on. I'm sorry for calling in late. Sorry about that. I do apologize.
Oh, no. You're not late because, you know, we do our little talking before anything gets started anyway. So we just thank God that you were able to come on. And we she has been a guest before she and her daughter were on. And we asked her this morning if she would share a word with us. She has written a book, From Pain to Power is the name of your book, one of your books?
Yes, that's the first one I wrote, Turning Pain into Power. It's the first book that I wrote. It's actually the beginning of like a three-part series that deals with my life and what God has done for me as far as his healing power, his deliverance power, and his power to make me whole. So I wrote that book in 2003. That was the first book.
Pain into Power. And how can we get that book? How can the audience possibly?
Well, the book, you can get it from Amazon.com. If they type in my name, the list of the books that I've written will come up. But the website that carries all the books that I've written is www.lulu, that's lulu.com/power. And that will take the individual straight to my online store so they can order the book.
Okay. Amen. Well, I didn't write that down, but I'll get it before you get off. So this morning I asked Overseer Holiday if she would share with us about healing, God's healing, and to just, you know, once you've gone through something, I believe it makes you compassionate for other people that go through the same thing that you've gone through, or similar, maybe not the same thing, but similar to what you've gone through. And I know that she's a mighty, awesome woman of God, and so I just asked her to share with us today from God's Word about healing or whatever in that vein that she would like to share with us. So, honey, you wanna say good morning to Patricia?
Good morning, Overseer Holiday. It's so good to hear your voice and to greet you this morning, and just looking forward to hearing what God has to say through you this morning. And tell my brother, I said, praise the Lord.
I still would do that. He's down y'all way right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's traveling. So we praise God for him having an opportunity to go. And but I would definitely let him know that you said hello.
Amen.
Good people. Okay, well, you may start in time.
Okay, I'm gonna start from a pre-planned project, but then we'll see which way the Lord will go. Dealing with turning pain into power, one of the topics that I got was healing, and it's talking about coming from a place of bitterness to praise. And the scriptures references that will be used for this will be Exodus 15:22-26 and 1 Samuel 1, 9, and 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1. When we look at healing, and I think a lot of times people, they just look at the natural, and sometimes they don't think about the emotional component that's involved with being healed. So the things that happen to us in our physical body have an impact on our mental state, and if we're not careful, it would also impact our relationship with God, which is a vertical relationship, and it will also impact our horizontal relationship, which is a relationship with our family and the people that we live with or we're surrounded with. So when we're looking at turning pain into power, it's just individuals' tools or resources that they can use to help them get from the place that they're at. Oftentimes when, and I can speak from my personal experience, when if you're already in church and you're saved or, you know, you're doing all you know how to live, and you may get a prophetic word, and it may not come through someone speaking to you openly, but the word of the Lord may just come to you and he tell you in prayer what he's going to do for you or how he's going to use you. When I was 18 years old, I remember vividly I was at a, we were having a prayer service at Evangelist Joel Osborne House. At that time, we were going to Great Deliverance Tabernacle, where late Bishop D.L. Thompson was the pastor. And we were, the church was dislocated, so she opened her doors for us to have prayer meetings at her house. And I was pregnant with Tatiana at the time. Wasn't married, you know, but I was pregnant with her. And about a month before, it was about maybe early on, about a month before I would actually have her, and the Lord spoke to me during prayer and said that he was giving me the gift of healing. Now, you know, at 18 years old, you don't even understand. You just praise God for the word. And, you know, it's something I never really shared with anybody. But what I did not understand was the cost of obtaining that gift. I watched our First Lady, Evangelist Barbara Thompson of Grace Deliverance Tabernacle, who flowed mightily in healing and deliverance. And I knew her testimony. And I learned at an early age, you never ask God to be like anybody else because you do not know what they went through, get what they got. So it took, down through the years, God began to manifest the gift, but it came through some of the things I went through. And it took a mature mind to be able to really grasp upon what it was. And before I could operate in that area, there were some things that God needed to heal me up from. Otherwise, I would have been transferring my pain to other people. So that's something that we need to understand as individuals. Even though you get a call, you get a prophetic word, you get a promise, there's a period of preparation that goes in before you even walk into the manifestation of what God called you to. And that's important that we understand that, because we can make a shipwreck if we step out too soon. In my book, Turning Pain into Power, I distinguish the difference between pain. You have natural pain, and that's what occurs without outside influences, such as childbirth. You know, because our body is made as women. We're made to bear children. So these are things that nobody's doing on the outside. It's just something that happened with nature. Then I deal with the unnatural pain, and those are things that are inflicted by outside influences, and they do not contribute to the health or the well-being of the individual that the pain is inflicted upon. So when I'm dealing with unnatural pain, you're dealing with the pain of physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Now, when you deal with medical procedures, even though those are being done by man, they're used on the outside in order to bring about a healing on the inside. So when we're looking at medical procedures, those are not included with unnatural pain. But I'm looking at things that people do, such as you being molested at a young age, have nothing to do with it. You being raped, you know, you growing up in a dysfunctional family, and people don't understand when you see things as a child, how it impacts your mind and your perception of reality. It begins to become skewed. So those are unnatural pain. One of the key concepts that I often deal with is a cycle of pain, and that means that once it started, it seems like you get on this vicious cycle where it's coming over and over again. Sometimes you begin to look at individuals or your own life, if you've gone through it, you'd be like, why did that person keep making the same mistake over and over again? They like the bad boys. they know it ain't no good, but that's because they've gotten into a cycle of pain. And when you're dealing with a cycle of pain, it's like riding a bike. Your wheel keep turning around and around and around. Or the treadmill, you're walking up it, and until you begin to get stop it in its track and get healed up from it, you'll keep going through the same vicious cycle. So it's important for us as individuals, as we go through life, and even though God may heal us up some things, sometimes things may come back upon us to reopen the wounds that we've been healed up from our past. Or we may have a blockage in our spiritual life where we've gotten so far, but all of a sudden I can't go any further. We need to begin to see God and ask him, God, why am I stuck right here at this particular time in my life? And sometimes you'll find out that it's because there's some unresolved issues. We can be saved and we're doing all we know, and yet we can have unforgiveness in our heart for somebody who did something to us for us years ago. Or we may think we've totally over the things that have been inflicted upon us, but sometimes we're not, and we get stuck. So as individuals, we have to make sure that we don't get stuck. And if we do get stuck, we have to begin to seek God and ask God to reveal unto us, why can't I move forward? Is it because I'm right here because you're preparing me for something else? Or am I stuck right here because I need to get healed up from something so that I can go further in you? So that's something very important to recognize.
Yeah.
You want to keep going?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Exodus, the 15th chapter, 22nd through the 26th verse. And most of us know this scripture, this scenario very well. Children of Israel were in bondage. They had got delivered from 400 years of slavery. And God brought them out with mighty miracles. You know, there were 10 plagues while they were still in Egypt. And then God divided the Red Sea and let them walk across on dry land. He began to feed them, provide for them in the wilderness. But yet they murmured and they complained against God. When they got to Marah, they could not drink the waters there because they were bitter. And so they named the place there called Marah. People began to murmur against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water was made sweet. Now, I just got a revelation when just looking at this. We often sing the song, It's So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, but Jesus had to die on a tree, on a rugged cross for us, in order for us to enjoy the sweetness of his salvation. So this scripture right here could be considered a symbol of what Christ did for us on Calvary. But this tree represented the power of God to take a situation, or the water, which water represents life, but it also represents chaos. But in this particular situation, it was not the purifying water that God used when in Genesis, when he was dealing with Noah. But this is the water that they needed in order to be sustained. So the tree made the water sweet. There he made for them a statue. So we know in the Old Testament, they always put up memorials to help them remember the spot, the time, the place where God delivered them from a certain particular point. So in this particular scripture, we see where they built a statue, an ordinance, and they said, if thou were diligent, and this is the word that God gave to Moses, if thou were diligent and hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which he is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we as individuals, we must begin to understand that healing is our portion. This is a command or covenant that God made with the children of Israel. So if we're doing what we're supposed to do, we can seek God for healing. And even in the New Testament, it says, by his stripes we were healed. So our healing was already purchased on Calvary or before Calvary was even necessary, because it was always God's plan for man to live in a perfected state. We get to the point where we suffer with sickness and diseases because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But if we look throughout the Bible and throughout the history, we see where God has always manifested his healing power to those who was living right and those who sought him. Behold. Amen. So when we look at when we look at healing, it comes from the word, the root word of whole. And I often tell my daughters, because I got three girls, and even other women that I'm dealing with, when they're seeking God for, they want to get married, they want a mate. And that's beautiful because it's biblical that it's not good for man to be alone, so that's why God created Eve. But I often tell the women that, and even the men, two halves can't make a whole. So before you go into any relationship, as an individual, you need to make sure you dealt with all of your issues. Because what happens oftentimes when we don't deal with it, and I'm speaking from personal experience, you take all of that baggage into your marriage and accept the grace of God help you, you end up being divorced because you have not processed your pain. And when we're looking at this concept of processing pain, it's a painful experience when you have to go back into your childhood and think about what you've gone through and allow God to heal you. And so often what happens is that we put up a roadblock because we don't want to think about it because, you know, it hurts too much. I don't want to admit, you know, to my children or to whoever I'm with that I was flawed. You know, I want to put out the perception that I was perfect and I was always like I am today and get it all together. And sometimes we put this image out in the public view that I'm all right and I'm okay, but yet when you go home, you're struggling with your past issues that has crept into your present. If you don't deal with it, it will destroy your future. So that's what we have to understand, that we have to deal with stuff because if we don't deal with it, it's going to mess us up where we're at, and it would actually abort the promises or some of the things that God wants to do for us in our future.
Yes. Amen.
So when we look at this particular scripture, we look where God had, the people were at a position of bitterness. It wasn't because of something that they had done, but they was traveling through the wilderness. Let me correct that. It was because of something they had done, not all the people. But when God sent the 40 spies out to spy the land of Jericho, of Canaan, excuse me, the wilderness was only supposed to be a 40-day journey. Because that's how long it would have took them to go through the wilderness to get into Canaan land. But they sent out the 12 spies. And I don't even think God commanded Moses to send nobody out to go spy out the land. And the only two that came back and said we were able to take the land was Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 came back and said there's giants in the land and we can't win. So they took the word of those naysayers, and then they began to walk around the wilderness 1 year for every day that they could have been delivered. And we have to be careful because there's power. The scripture said there's life and death in the power of our tongue. It's better to confess positivity. Because we can take some things that's supposed to only last a season, maybe 3 months. And if we use that same scenario, that 3 months can end up turning into 9 years because of the negative things that have come out of our mouth. But we have to make sure that we're not speaking negativity over our own situation. But we get us a scripture, and the scripture that my mom always drilled in us was, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And it may not be what you see right now, but it's, you're speaking in the future tense. And that's very important. So when we begin to look at bitterness, this is a negative state. It's dealing with when you, I don't like sour food, so like I like lemon heads. When you, if something bitter and you don't like the taste of it, it's like it's a keen reproach. It can begin to vex your mind. It's a state of stress or grief. I would even add, when you're dealing with bitterness, you could be dealing with depression. Your mind is not functioning like God wanted to because you're overwhelmed with what you're going to. So we want to get to the point where we can come bring ourselves with the help of the Lord from our state of bitterness into the state of praise. A good example of an individual who we can just walk through the Bible with that dealt with bitterness will be Job. In Job, the 7th chapter and 11th verse, he said, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job was okay until his friends started talking to him and giving him negative advice and actually accusing God to him. And he did not realize that God allowed him to test it because God saw in him the ability to overcome. And that's what we got to understand, that there's something that God sees in us that maybe we need to be fine-tuned or polished. And he knows the end results when we don't know it. So when we're going through it in the midst of a situation, we have to begin to learn how to change our responses while we're in the situation. Because when we begin to, we will begin to see that the way that we go through change. And we can actually cut our suffering down, time down some, because we begin to change our response. And we change, when changing our response, that's what we get into when we're breaking the cycle of pain. So on this morning, I want to challenge each of us to begin to change our responses to our situations that we may be going through, so that, and I'm going to use a term that my Elder Tierra used when she was preaching, so we can take a negative charge and change it into a positive charge so that it can be used for the master's use. You all know she's into science when she be preaching. So we want to take our negative situation and we want to change our responses. And the response, instead of complaining, will be we're going to use the vehicle of praise and worship in the midst of suffering. See, because it's easy to praise God when everything is going good.
Yeah.
I can praise you. I heard testimony about people, you know, y'all got blessed with cars. I can praise God because I got it right here. I can see it. I can worship him because, oh, I got my house and I got the deed to the property. I got the keys. I can praise and worship God then. But can you praise him while you walking and you don't have a car, don't have the money to get your car fixed, don't have the money to buy your groceries, or you laying in bed and your body's wrecking in pain? That's the challenge right there. Where is your praise when you're suffering?
Yes.
And that's something that me, as an individual, I had to come to terms with. Because I had already been through, by 1993, I had already had one major surgery, and I think I had been in maybe two accidents. And I was laying in the bed, and I had had a relapse from one of the car accidents, where my leg, my right side weak, my leg is dragging, I can't lift my hands up over my head, can't turn my head from left to right. And so at this point, I'm laying in the bed, and I began to ask God, you know, we always ask why. So I asked a why question, and my husband, Bishop Holliday, said, it's okay to ask God why. Some people said, no, but you wouldn't get an understanding. And now you're understanding, you have to ask him. So I didn't get a response to that. But while I was laying there, I changed my response. I began to praise God that I could feel the pain. Because there were some people that, in the hospital, they can't feel anything. So while I was in the midst of hurting, in the midst of recuperating from a car accident, I began to change my response. And then I made a commitment to myself in 93 that whatever I go through, and I didn't realize everything I was going to be going through, but I made a declaration that whatever I go through, each time I go through it, I'm determined I'm going to get a higher anointing with everything that I suffer.
My
so that was a commitment I made to myself in 93. And as I began to look over my life, and I didn't understand even back then, God was teaching me how to turn pain into power, that I was taking control over my situation because of the things I spoke out of my mouth. But when I began to think about the people who were dead, that would probably rather be alive and be hurting, and that's when you have to begin to take yourself out of your situation and begin to look down and have an I think sometimes we need to have an out-of-body experience. We pull ourselves out of what we've seen and we begin to look down upon ourselves and think about the other people that's around us and how there's somebody that maybe wish they were in your shoe. Because even though we don't have it all like we want to have it, there's some people that don't have as much as we do. So we need to begin to praise God for where we're at and begin to see what lesson can I get from this particular situation. Because God is a teacher. And there's lessons that we can get out of the negative and out of the positive. And I'm a firm believer that you can teach me something based on what you went through, then I don't have to go through what you've gone through because I can learn from what you experienced. So that's what we have to do is seek God for, I'm going through this right now, God, but what am I supposed to learn? Because if we do not learn the lesson from what we're going through, just like in school, you're going to have to repeat that grade. You're going to have to repeat the test until you learn the lesson that God wants you to learn. When we look at the concept of praise, now, we always deal with the book of Psalms. It means that we're going to assault God with words, sung, and to magnify and to glorify him. In Psalms 148:2 said, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all of his hosts. So when we look at praise, everybody can praise God. The sinner can praise God. But in John 4:24, the scripture says he seeks such that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the one thing I found out is that it's worship that takes us into the holies of holies, into the presence of God. And that's when we can get before him and we can just bear all unto him. And it's the worship that will begin to break yokes. When we as a people can get before the Lord on one accord, or even if we look at our body because we're a trifold being, and it takes a lot sometimes to get our mind together, because if we got so much going on in our mind, our mind will wander off. So the first challenge for us is to get us together as a trifold being, to get our mind and our body and our spirit to line up on one accord so that we as an individual can worship God in the beauty of the holiness. Then when we get ourselves together as a trifold being, then we can become a catalyst to a worship experience in our family, in our church home. But it takes us making sure our body, all of us, is lined up so that we can worship God. Now, when we look at the saying of how the children of Israel suffered, they suffered much, but it was for end result. Because God had promised Abraham that he would make a great nation out of the children of Israel, so they had to go into Egypt for salvation because there was famine in Canaan land. There are some things that we have to go through in order to get the end result of what God wants to do in our life. So it's not because you sin that you're suffering. And I think that's something that we need to make sure that that we get over to people. Sin does not always equal suffering. And that's a mistake that Joel's friend made, that because he was suffering that he had sinned. But we got to recognize that Satan takes us before the throne of God also. As an individual, he don't just call out the name of Job. He didn't talk to God and said, God, I see Billy Burns, and she just served you because of the things that you've done for her. And God said, you can touch her, but you can't have her soul. And we got to realize that this conversation is being held about us, and it's because God sees in us the ability to do greatness. And we don't see it ourselves at times. And God allowed things to happen to us because he knows that we can handle it.
Yes,
whatever
yes.
Word is for somebody that's listening to the broadcast, whatever you're going through, God got you where you're at because he knows you can handle it. And the situation that you're in is not meant to break you. But you're going to come through this with more power. You're going to come through this with a greater anointing. You're going to come through this with a greater determination because God said this is your season, and he's breaking shackles on this morning. There are some strongholds that's being torn down in the heavenly realms because God is releasing his spirit of manifestation in the earth realm. But in order for you as an individual to receive what God has for you, there are some things that needs to come off. So right now there's some individuals that's been in a state of purification because God is getting ready to release a mighty blessing for your household individually and collectively. But he said, I need to make sure that you're prepared to receive what I'm sending your way. So right now I have you in the fire of purification. It's not going to kill you, but I'm polishing you and I'm refining you so when the blessings come, you won't get lifted up in pride and self-esteem and think you're all that. But you will recognize that it is because of the power of God that I'm standing here because he has made me perfected. He has put me in a position where I'm ready to receive the blessing that he's getting ready to release for me. Amen.
Amen, 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 hallelujah. As you were talking, I know you're not finished, but as you were talking, I was thinking about Pastor Ojeda came on one Saturday, and she said that God considered Job. And so she said when we're going through, she said it's because God is considering us for greater things. Amen, amen, amen. I'm sorry, go on, Overseer.
It's hard when you're going through something to actually see God. How can something great come out of this? We look at the testimony of Jesus. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And some people look at our families and say, that family gets jacked up. Ain't nothing good come out of it. Because they have already put a stereotype on you. Or even you as an individual because, you know, I talk about me and him. My first child out of wedlock, you know, grew up on the west side of Chicago. And y'all from the south side, y'all know y'all say, oh, ain't nothing good coming from over on the west side. And the west side to the west side is the west side. You know, so you have these, people have these conceptions or misconceptions of who you are based on where you're from.
Yes.
Based on what you've done in your past. They label you as that you can't be used by God because you're not this. You can't be used by God because, you know what, you're not a Pentecostal royalty, which means that, you know, you just knew this, you got saved. But you don't have a generational lineage in Pentecost. So, you know what, let me go and step over you and get somebody else because they got the name. And what they don't realize is you step over the anointing to get somebody else, but that person you stepped over had what you needed for that particular time because God had put the word in their mouth. So we as individuals got to begin to understand that it's not about our name, but it's about the anointing that works in us. And we that have been sitting on the backside of the mountain, if we think about the story of David and when prophet, I believe it was Nathan, came because God told him that he had rejected Saul as king and that go to Joseph, to the house of Joseph, I believe that's David's father, and that he had a son that was going to be anointed king. But when he went there, he had the oil, and he began to pour the oil, but it wouldn't flow because he bought all of his older sons.
Yeah.
David. David was the youngest, and he was attending the sheep. And so Nathan said, don't you have another son? Because God told me the person was here. He said, oh, I got my youngest boy. He's tending the sheep. So he forgot about David because David was puny. He was young. He was younger than a bunch. He forgot all about him. But when David came in, the oil flowed because that's who God anointed to be king. And so that's what we got to begin to understand. It's not based on what you see on the outward appearance, but it's based on what God has deemed on the inward side that the oil will flow. So when we begin to look, there are some prophets and some that has the oil because God is sending words that there are some people that I'm getting ready to use. But even as prophets, as pastors, as priests, overseers, apostles, whatever position that we're in, we have to make sure that we don't get caught up on what we see and we think. But we need to begin to see God about who do you want this oil poured out of, because there are some people that are sitting on the backside of the mountain that God is saying it's their season. And the challenge on this year and on today is for leadership to see God and say, whose season is it? It's not about who I think, but there's some people that are sitting in the back of the church that God has equipped with so much power. But because they don't haven't maybe acknowledged their ministerial call, or they haven't said they're doing this, they're saying doing that, but they're quiet. They're just sitting back in the cup. And they know what God just spoke to them, but God ain't told them to move. It's up to leadership to identify that it's your season now, because God said you got the word. God said it's in your hands. And that's what we need to begin to do as leaders. We need to begin to seek God like Nathan did and look and say, wait a minute, it's not the one. It's not the usual crew. It's not the ones that's around me right now. But God said he got somebody that's on the backside of the mountain that he has anointed, and he's just waiting for me to pour the oil to activate them so they can become who they're supposed to be. Because they're going to take some of those people that's going to push the church to the next level in God. Because they're crazy. These are the people that are like the men of Gideon. And God is seeking people on today who's willing to lap water like a dog, who's willing to do unconventional things. As our bishop says, Bishop Robert Holliday says, we radical, and we're becoming the norm. So on this year, and what God is doing, God is not looking for church as usual. He's looking for people who's willing to be radical, who don't mind sharing their testimony, whatever it is, whether God delivered them from homosexuality, from lesbianism. You know, we always look at the sexual sin. But you know what? The Bible says a lion not going to tear before his sight. So God's looking for people to say that, you know what, I had a lion spirit, but God delivered me. Because we step out with that spirit. We want to just jump to the sexual sin. But you know what? Lying can tear up a whole household and whole families and churches. So we need to have a deliverance line for liars. Because they just told so many lies that it's poisoning the church. So we need to begin to cast out the lying spirit out of the body of Christ, because that's the spirit right now that's tearing up the body of Christ. And we don't even recognize it because we're so focused on the big sins, the sins that we can see, and not knowing that we got people around us that's webbing all type of lies and deceit because they got their plan where they're trying to get ahead and they want to step on. We don't care who they step over to get there. But we need to ask God to clean up our ears, spiritual ears, and our spiritual sight so that we can see exactly what spirit is working in this dispensation.
Yes.
And that creep in the church, and it stays there because we missed it. It was there when we was younger. And it ended up going into what? You begin to see, you know, all type of other sins because lie become a gateway sin. Just like we say marijuana is a gateway drug that people do it and after a while they can't get high from it, but then they go on to something stronger. That's what lying is. Lying is a sin, well, ooh, I got away with this. Let me see what else I can get away. So on this morning, we're going to begin to close some doors, you know, because we know that we have here in the theme for our Reformation, this is the year to open doors. But before we can open the door for blessing, there's some doors we need to close on today. So today, I decree right now, we close the door on the lying spirit. It has come into the body of Christ to cause discourse and to tear down relationships, to tear down families. And so in this morning, I bind up the spirit of lying, the spirit of hypocrisy, the spirit of deceit. I close the doors to those in our life right now in the name of Jesus so that we can walk into the open door with the spirit of truth, the spirit of reverence and manifestation that God needs us to have in order to receive what he has for us on today.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we're going to do some strategic strikes on this morning. So the first thing we're going to do is, in order for us to turn our bitterness into praise, is we're going to close up every door that has been opened that will prevent the promises of God from coming to pass in our life now.
Yes.
The
Amen.
Other spirit that has come into the church is the spirit of witchcraft.
Yes.
And we don't understand that reading a horoscope, and you start reading and studying, and it's great to study up on numbers so you understand what 7 means, perfection. I think 10 is judgment. But when you begin to get consumed in things and it's not biblical-based, we don't realize sometimes that we've opened ourselves up to a spirit of witchcraft. And you may not be the person that's practicing it, but there are some people that are so evil in the body of Christ, they pick up on the things that they used to do, and they will try to put a curse on you to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do in God because they perceive you as a threat. So on this morning, we're going to come against the spirit of witchcraft. Now, my husband asked me, he said, "Babe, do you really think that spirit is working as much as folks say it does, or is it just because of, you know, the social media?" I said, "No, it's working as much as they say it does. The thing is that because we have social media and we have the things that we have, it's more prevalent because now it's open to open. And I also think people are more bolder. And as they get more bolder for doing what they're doing, we as the body of Christ, we have to get more bolder in what we do. So we can't be afraid of the enemy and what they may do or what they may say, but we need to recognize as great as him that's in us and he that's in the world. The devil is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He does not have all authority. We as individuals with the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, we serve the God of God. We serve God who has all power and all authority. So on this morning, in order for us to get from bitterness to praise, in order for us to go from where we're at right now to where we should be, on this morning we're going to close the door to witchcraft. We bind up every curse, every thing that's been spoken against over our life, every plot that has been formed, those who are trying to use dolls to put needles in it to cause us pain, those who are trying to abort our purposes. And what we don't understand is that the scripture says jealousy is as the sin of witchcraft. So I hear somebody saying, "I'm not practicing witchcraft, but God says you had a spirit of jealousy, and you're going about that you would destroy other people so that you can get what they have because you're jealous of what they have." So the spirit of jealousy is equal to witchcraft. So in the body of Christ, we need to be careful that we don't put on that spirit of jealousy. Stop being envious of somebody else because it's their season. They paid the price to get to what they're at. Rejoice for them. The Bible tells us to rejoice for those that rejoice. So if they're being elevated, You need to rejoice with them. So when you rejoice with them, then God can begin to see that your heart is changing, that you're putting out the spirit of jealousy, because when we have the spirit of jealousy, we can't move forward in God because we're stuck on stupid. We're stuck where we're at because you think it should have been me. No, it shouldn't have been you because God don't think you're ready for it yet. But if we begin to praise God for our brothers and sisters when it's their time of elevation, we can begin to see God to begin to work in us and take off our imperfection so that when our time comes, we can grasp it. We can walk in it. And some things we don't get right now, because God knows if we got it, we'll be stuck up. So God said, let me work on her a little bit more because she can't handle it. I give her $1 million. She don't even pay tithes off $100. If I get her a new house right now, she's going to backslide. So let me just work on her right now to get her prepared for what I want to get her. So
amen.
We need to make sure that as saints of God, we do not let a spirit of jealousy creep in on us. Because that's a stronghold.
Yes.
On today, we're going to close that door. Because
amen.
We want to open an open door. But before we can get to the open door, there are some things that need to be shut. If we think about Noah and the ark, when they laughed at him as he built the ark, he took the animals in, the clean animals and the unclean animals, and he took his family in because God had told me that he told him that it was going to rain, that he was purifying the earth. He had to shut that door to the ark in order to be saved, for him and his family and for the animals to be saved. Now, there was people, after the rain started coming, they started banging on the door because they wanted to get in. But Noah couldn't open that door up because then he would be in disobedience. But he also could have lost his life and the other people's lives. So, when you close the door today, you can't open these doors back up. Because what God is doing on this morning is he's bringing about healing through the radio broadcast, and he's closing some doors. And
thank
I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, when I close these doors this time, if you open them back up, then you're opening yourself up for the judgment of God.
My God.
Because there's individuals that are seeking God, that God, I got these strongholds. I'm trying to get rid of them. God said on this morning, I'm things up. I'm closing them up. I'm closing these doors. These gateways that you've opened up that you want deliverance from. You want deliverance from the spirit of fornication. Because you know that God can keep you, but you've been having trouble, you've been struggling in that area. God said on this morning, he's closing that door up. He's closing the door up to sexual impurity. He's closing the door up to unforgiveness. He's closing the door up to malice and strife. He's closing all of these doors up because there's some blessings that has your name on it. And I'm getting ready to send my blessings, but before I can send my blessing, we're going to close the doors. He said, close the doors. There are some things, even in our house, sometimes, literally, I open up my house and my windows because I feel like there's some spirits or something that got in. I open up my doors. And you know, we're from the old school church. When they were praying and casting out spirits, they did not open the door up. I don't know if you say, is that Ms. Burns? They said, open the doors up. This Bishop D.L. Thompson said, open the doors up. He would send folks home. He said, we've been going to spiritual warfare and cast out spirits. So if you know your mind can't focus, you need to leave the church. I give you, you can leave. Y'all go. There's been time when he would let folks go and we would stay there, we would work or so, and then he would say, open the door. Why you open the door? Because I got to let this spirit out. So God is saying on this morning, there's some things you need to open your windows, open your door, cast out these spirits. And naturally, kick them out of your house, tell them that they're, give them their eviction notice. They can't live here anymore. You know what your individual struggles are. God said, if you would name it and declare on today, I'm not going to do it anymore. Now, you on the radio know what your it is. I don't know what all of your it is. Some people battle with fornication. Some battle with adultery. Some battle with drug addiction. Some battle with even self-hatred. But if I don't name your it, you name your it right now and say, God, I'm not going to deal with this. Kicking this to the curb, open up your windows, open up your doors, and begin to cast that spirit out. And then when you let the spirit out of your house, spiritually and naturally, God is going to begin to work. But you got to open the door up. Open it up and let the spirit open up your windows. I decree right now, if you have enough faith, and I'm doing this right now, if you have enough faith to open up your natural doors and say, get out of my house. As a symbolism for what God is going to do for you naturally, then close your door back up and watch God begin to work.
Yeah, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I'm doing surgery this morning.
Yes.
I hear the Lord say that I'm going into people's minds because somebody's being tormented in their mind, in their spirit, because of the things they've gone through, and you don't have anybody that you feel like you can talk about it. Because, see, when you begin to talk about, I'm a victim of incest, and, oh, I'm a victim of rape, and I'm a victim of molestation, or I suffer with depression, and I suffer with this, and I suffer with that, everybody can't deal with that. So there are some people that's been, they're overwhelmed right now because they have all of this stuff from years and years that they've dealt with that they don't feel like nobody really understands what I've gone through. But God's saying if you would just get into the place of worship right now, if you would just tap into my glory right now, because there's a move right now. At this moment, there's a shift in the atmosphere. Where God says, I'm going to take away this heavy load that you can't bear, but I need you to tap into my presence right now. And if you tap into his presence, I decree by the power of God that God is going to relieve that the spirit of depression off of you right now. I come against the spirit of suicide that's trying to take somebody out. Glory to God. I come against it right now. I bind up the spirit of suicide. You shall not die, but you shall live to declare the glory of the Lord. I bind up the spirit of depression right now. They're trying to consume you. They're trying to overtake you. I come against that stronghold. I come against the strong man of generational curses to tell you that you're not worth it, that you're not lovable, that ain't nobody wants you. I bind up that spirit right now. And I say you're beautiful because God has created you in his image and in his likeness. He's called you unto greatness because you have something on the inside of you that he's deposited before the foundation of the world. And God is saying on today, if we would just tap into his presence, there's a sign that comes that I will press into his presence. Sometimes you got to press beyond what you feel.
Yes.
Press beyond what you see. Because there's a greatness that's trying to come out of you, but you have to press to get to it. This anointing that God has for you is not coming because you're on easy street. It's coming because you dare to go before his presence. You don't mind going down like Hannah did when she cried in the temple because she was barren. You don't mind crying before the Lord because, Lord, I'm barren. I'm not bringing forth more truth. My womb is locked up. There was something about Hannah. She prayed before the Lord, and the prophet Eli thought she was like a drunk lady, and she began to say unto him, no, Lord, my Lord, I'm not drunk, but my soul is sorrowful because I'm barren. And he began to give her a prophetic word. The request that you marry, God is going to bring it to pass. Now, this is what God is saying on this morning. Because you dare to go before me, and you dare to cry out before me in your barren state, in the state where you could not produce, God is saying on today, if you would just press, Hannah had to press behind how she felt. She pressed beyond the judgment and the scorning of the other wife that who was bringing forth children. She pressed beyond that. And when she began to press into his presence, she got a word from the Lord that her promise was going to be made nigh. And God is saying on today that because you dare to even open up your ears to hear this radio broadcast, that he is taking you from your state of barrenness.
Thank
and he's
Lord,
bringing forth
righteousness.
Life to your situation. Even right now, says the Lord, there's somebody that's been barren and not being able to bring forth a child. But I decree on today that the seed shall remain. You shall not abort the child that's on the inside of you. I decree right now that your cervix shall hold. And it shall hold for the 9 months that God has decreed. Because inside of the womb, I see there's some prophets that's in the womb that the enemy is trying to abort. But on today, I declare that the seed should not be aborted. But you should carry that prophet to turn, and you shall bring forth greatness. On the spiritual side, I hear God say, you are barren. You can't bring forth my word. But God said on today that I'm standing before you an open door. That you shall be able to go before the nations and speak my word, says the Lord. You shall go before those that do not know me and begin to break down who I am, that I am the God of God and I am the Lord of Lords. Your life will begin to be a living testimony. And as it was in the Bible days, your shadow shall begin to be able to heal people. Oh, glory to God. Mm-hmm. If you
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I see a financial whirlwind just getting ready to break loose.
Hallelujah.
And this is Illinois is known as a tornado island, and you have certain times of the year where the tornadoes just go, and you see the news, and they begin to wreak havoc. Huh? But I see right now in the spiritual realm, I see that there's a financial whirlwind. I see money. God is getting ready to release the finances. Woo, God. And one thing about a tornado, it has no respect to person. It could be a rich person, but when it come do the thing, it'll take their house down just like everybody else. God said, I'm not a respected person. And with this financial whirlwind that I'm going to release, he's going to release it. I see money coming, And it's not coming because you just want it. But God said, I'm sending money to meet a need. There's some unmet need. That God said, I'm going to meet the need. Stop worrying. Evangelist Elder God said, stop worrying. Because he said, I'm getting ready to release. Because you sold out of you sold when you didn't have to sell. You sold out of your need. You gave when you didn't have the give. God said, I'm releasing finances.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I got that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Jesus.
Sometimes God has to take us from our surroundings because people get so common with us, they don't see the God that's in us because, oh, that's just Pat. That's just Billy. That's just Albert. That's just Robert. Those just they kids. Those are Burns kids. Those holiday kids. But God had to take us from our surroundings in order to sometimes take us to where we need to be in him. One of the first messages I remember my husband preached when we was young. I wasn't even a minister then. Adopted in a strange land because he always used his life and he paralleled it to Joseph. And we know Joseph was sold into bondage. And I realized that Joseph would be their salvation. So
yeah.
God took you up south side of Chicago to North Carolina because he said that he had to get you from around people who thought they knew you. But they didn't really know you. They just thought they knew you.
Hey,
Brian is the armor bearer. Evangelist Brian is a preacher. But God said he took you from the south side of Chicago and took you to North Carolina so that the gift that's on the inside of you, the call that's on the inside of you could be manifested and could be nurtured. God said there's gifts that he has deposited on the inside of you that you haven't even walked in yet.
Oh, my God.
And when your husband was sick and you was praying and you was laying hands on him and you said, God, it's not his time yet, you didn't even realize that God had deposited healing in your hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you dare stand in the gap.
Yes, Lord.
God said there's greater works for both of you all to do.
Thank you.
Y'all been talking about it a long time. Y'all said, God, we ain't got the money to do this. We can't do this yet. God said, it's time to step out. I ain't going to say what it is, but y'all been struggling with it since even in Chicago. How am I supposed to, God, I know you called me to this, but how am I going to do this? God said, now's the season. You got to step out and do it.
Thank you, Lord.
He's calling for total obedience. Elder Burns, he's calling for total obedience. And because of your spirit of humility, you're not going to have to suffer like we suffer. Because right now it's your season.
Thank you, Lord.
I've anointed you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will make the provision for it. But just step out on me.
Thank you.
I speak healing across the airwaves.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see your healing power.
Thank you, Lord.
Even on today, God, we speak healing from sorrow on today, God. We see your healing power to Living Water Church of God. We ask that you comfort the Jackson family on today because, you know, there's a healing that needs when you're going through grief. And we got one of my classmates lost her sister. And I don't know if you all, I know you all know Bethlehem Healing Temple.
Yes.
Living Witness Church, which came out of Bethlehem Healing Temple, the Jackson family, which is a real big family on that side of Pentecost, because that's where we came from. I think the youngest sort of passed away, and they're having her homeborn service. And I know there's people that we don't even know about. But right now, I release the spirit of healing for grief.
Yes.
I heal the ill. Bless that mother on today, God. Bless the sisters, God. Touch Veronica. Touch those children.
Yes.
And you know what? Sometimes we as individuals, if you haven't experienced grief, you know, you don't really understand how I feel. Now, when my pops passed away, we were still at Morgan Park. So we was passing already. My mom was still there. I don't know if you all was there, 2004. Stepfather.
No.
But that was 2004. Now, that was my pops. You know, that hurt it. But that's my stepdad. You know, that was my pops. My uncle passed away last year. My mother, brother. I feel like somebody took a knife and put it through my heart. And I couldn't understand. I told Gloria, my sister, why did this hurt so bad? She said, girl, that's a bloodline. We was jacked up. I couldn't hardly work. So grief is that's a heavy thing. And that's why we need to, as individuals, stand in the gap for people. And even if you don't know them, the call of an intercessor is heavy. And you're something you're saying, don't have the call. But you ain't never praying for nobody, you don't have a call. The spirit of intercessor can be so heavy. Earlier this year, a young man was killed in Ohio, Bishop-elect Halter's son. And I'm a friend of the wife, and I was searching the page trying to find out what's going on. And I saw that. I felt like somebody took a knife to my heart. And I had to go on warfare. I called Tara, tell the girls, pray for me. I got to get this off me. You know, because when you're connected as the body of Christ, and you may not understand why you're feeling what you're feeling, but the challenge to anybody that has that gift, when you feel it, just go into prayer. Because God has connected you to people across the sea. You may not even know them, but the spirit of intercessory is so heavy that in that call, when you feel it, you have to go into prayer. Because God has put that burden on you. That's a gift, but you have to know how to use it. So on today, I'm activating, because there are some people that have the call, but they don't know how to use the call. So on this morning, I'm activating the spirit of intercessory, because in order to get where we need to go, we need the intercessors to stand on the wall and to be praying. And I'm decreeing right now that God send people around you and Elder Burns that's going to have your back, that's going to have your best interest at heart, so that when you step out on this move, you're not going to get any backlash, because people are going to say, I knew it was there already. I was just waiting for you to say it. There's somebody waiting for you to just say it. It's time now.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I decree right now your boy's going to fall in line.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I know at least one got a preacher call.
Oh, yeah.
Chris. I think that's right. Why Tierra so close? Some kindred spirit. He got so much on the inside of him, and that's why you've been going through a lot with him when he grew up, because there's a lot on the inside of him. And those other boys, God has said he has given you mighty men of valor.
Yes, Lord.
In your house. You raised them and you didn't even know them. You got warriors in your house. The one that went to the military, God said, I've already trained him how to train up the men to be on point, what they need to do. So God's going to use his skills that he learned in the military to help train people up into your next move. So don't think it's strange. The things that they went through, all of a sudden you look at the man. They did that. God said, I've been preparing them for what you need to do. And when you step out all of a sudden, no, it's something. Because all our kids is they were pew babies. You know, our kids have their challenges. They do stuff. When we had the elevation service on March 8th, Tatiana came, the oldest daughter. She said, "Ooh, I can't do that no more. I'm a bishop's daughter." So it's like when you do stuff, it can come back to them. She said, "I don't want nobody to touch me. I don't want nobody to say nothing to me. I'm just coming to church. Mom said them don't lay hands on me." Will you believe when Tierra was getting presented by her friend from Mississippi came up here, armor bearer for her, when she was being ordained. And a young lady began to speak about Tierra and her testimony and how her testimony has helped her to be what she's supposed to be. Next thing I look, Tatiana over in the corner shouting. Ain't nobody touch her. I said, well, God get her. So what's on the inside of your boy is coming out. They can only run for so long.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Try to get all off topic.
Thank you. I'll let the Lord have his way. Thank you, Jesus.
Oof. You serve an awesome God.
Yes,
I see a special blessing coming for the person who put you on the radio. I don't know her name.
Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. She's on the line now.
Okay. She on the line?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I see a special blessing coming her way.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I didn't know she was on the line. But God has given her the unique gift where she doesn't suffer for insecurities. So she don't mind using her vehicle as a platform to expose other ministries. Because God has called her to be a spiritual wife. And her ministry is different because she don't just help birth souls in the church. She helps birth ministries.
Yes, she
and
does.
And I don't even know if she recognized that she's walking under the call of an apostle.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She has an apostle's anointing on her life. And I see God is doing to do something great. In the next 7 days, there are some needs that she has that need to be met. God said in the next 7 days,
thank you.
She's going to be unexpected. Yeah, individuals who dare put their mouth on her because of the things that she do. Somebody have even told her that she was crazy. Why would you put other people on radio and you're taking the limelight from yourself? And I hear her voice saying just as vividly, and I don't know how she looked, but she got the head going like, you know, we did the black one thing because God told me to, and I'm going to do what God said to. I don't even know, but this is sound like something she would say. I'm doing what God said me to do until he tell me to stop. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yes, that's Adrian.
Because she's bold enough to do what he said do, in the next 7 days, he's releasing a blessing, and it's going to blow her mind.
My God.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Hey, Adrian. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Billy.
Yes. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Adrian.
Praise the Lord. I'm driving. I didn't want to disturb y'all, but I wanted to hear the woman of God this morning. So that was a great word. Amen. And it really encouraged my heart. We're dealing with that same topic this week and next week, healing for our issues. Amen. So I just want to say thank you. I thank God that I was able to tune in this morning. Keep us in your prayers in Jesus' name.
Amen. Awesome woman of God. Awesome. And just like you're saying, Overseer, she does do what God tell her to do, regardless to how people feel about it, what they think about it, or what they say about it. She will do what God tells her to do.
All of us need to get like that. We're suffering for the body of Christ. Some people say they're suffering, they're not really suffering. They're doing some self-afflicted stuff. We got to have enough in us that we're going to do what God say do.
Yeah.
And that's what season is in. God looking for some radical people. That we need to be able to go forth when he say go forth, do what he say do, because that's what's going to change the nation. And that's the reason the church was so powerful in the Bible days, is because they had all things in common.
Yeah.
They weren't looking at, oh, it's my turn. Oh, you can't be better than me. They were together on one accord. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be together on one accord. And when we're helping each other, we're helping the body of Christ. Because it's not about me having my little session and you having your little session. It's about us, all of us, with the body of Christ. And the one thing I love, when we came to Morgan Park, Suffolk Bishop again was the pastor. When we joined,
yeah.
we were the last family joined under his leadership. And when we came over, he said, you're not even, you just changed. We're all a part of the body of Christ. You're just changing your place of worship. And that's a concept I think all of us need to get, that regardless of where we at, all the churches, it's just the body of Christ. If I decide that I need to, and I'm not talking about just church hopping, though. We know some people go to church, and they can change church like they change outfit. I'm not talking about that spirit. But when you feel a need that I need to go somewhere, God is leading me to go, you know, help go here right now for this season. Then we as leaders got to be able to understand that, okay, bless you. You know, you're still in the body of Christ. I want for somebody to go to another church and backslide. And there's a lot of people, because the church hurts, who are in the street because they got messed up at one church and then they threw in the towel.
Yeah.
Well, this morning I challenge those that have been hurt in the church, go back to the church, because your healing that you need is in the church.
And see, yeah, God,
which ecclesia to go to, which part of his body do he wants you to go to, because there's a lot of people in the street that's supposed to be in church, but they left
because
they got in a particular location. But God said on this morning, I'm coming to heal church hurts. And see, that's a deep hurt. I've been through it. That's a heavy hurt. But you have to go back to the church to get healed from that hurt. A lot of people out there, God is calling them back into the body of Christ because it's their season. It's their season.
Yes. It's not in the drugs. It's not in the bottle. But it's in
right.
the church.
It's in the church. Some things, I feel like this, you can drink and get drunk, or you get sober, you still got the same pain.
Yes. Yes.
So that's just a temporary fix. But when God heals you and he do it, he does a complete work.
Yes.
So I'm just excited about this year and for what God is going to do, is doing in this year and this season. One thing that I want to point out, that the Jehovah Rapha, we use this scripture a lot dealing with God that heals. And we know in the Old Testament they could not, God was so awesome they could not even find one name to describe him. So you would see them saying Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. So
yeah.
The one thing we got to realize is that the Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament.
Yes.
So all those names they use in the Old Testament, El Shaddai, Jehovah Nissi, all the names, and I love it using the Lord our banner. All of that power is in one name, and that's
yes.
Jesus. So the God that healed in the Old Testament is Jesus who healed in the New Testament. And when he went out to ministry, he quoted Isaiah 61:1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering to sight to the blind, and
yes.
then them that choose." So on today, we can just speak the word Jesus.
Yes.
And we can just breathe Jesus over our situation, and he's able to heal us physically and naturally.
Thank you.
Now, one thing was about Jesus that to heal us, we can walk all through the New Testament, and we can begin to see what he into the village in Mark, the 6th chapter, 56th verse. And a woman with the issue of the blood touched his garment, and she was healed. And when we begin to see that, his name spread about, the healing power of God. And we need to understand that just as he did in the Bible days, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, that God, Jesus still has released the gift of healing in the atmosphere. Because he's got one of the gifts in the church. And God is releasing it.
Thank you, Lord.
So the one thing that we as individuals, in order for us to become totally whole, we have to recognize where we're at. You know, where are we at spiritually? Where are we at right now? There's a phrase that goes to that own self be true. Now, I already used who cried out of her desperate state. So on this morning, we as individual, in order to be healed, we got to admit that we got a problem. Now,
yes.
The Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to set up and say, I'm an alcoholic. And they got a 12-step program. I got good news on today. God says it's not going to take 12 steps. If you open your mouth, say what you're doing, he's here right now, heal you. It ain't got to take a long time. Ain't nobody got to touch you. You can use your own hands as a point of contact and lay hands on yourself and decree that you're healed. So when we begin to acknowledge where we're at, and we can tell based on how what scriptures people are using, and we got scripture to deal with bitterness, but we want to go from being bitter, and we want to go to being praised, to praise. And when we begin to look at who the Lord is, because we cannot do anything without him, and we begin to understand that healing is a process to take us from one point to another. And we have to have, if we don't have revelation and confidence in the Lord, we are helpless. So all of our needs will be met in the Lord. Our focus must shift to where we are, to who God is. So we can't look at who I am. I'm at here right now. But when we begin to look at who God is, Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. David was able to relax and take comfort in the Lord supplying his every need. In Psalms 27:1, David stated, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom should I be afraid?
Whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom will I trust? He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. Isaiah 12:2 said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also become my salvation. Isaiah 25:4, he is a refuge from the storm and a shadow in the heat. Isaiah 32:2, he is a hiding place from the wind and the river of water in the dry places. So when we begin to look at who God is, and we got confidence in who he is, then we can begin the healing process. But we take the focus off of us and him. We're no longer looking at who we are and what we're going through, but we're looking at the God who can take us from infinity and beyond. So when we begin to speak and confront our emotional and spiritual wounds, that's when the healing begins.
Yes.
So until we come and deal with it, it won't happen. We need to make sure that we forgive those who inflicted pain upon us, whoever it was. If it was your mother that allowed you to be abused, a husband, an ex-husband who, you know, did something to you, we have to forgive them. And if they never ask to be forgiven, we have to exonerate them, because that's important for our process.
Yeah.
I was never asked to forgive the person who violated me from age of 13 to 17. But I had to exonerate them in order for me to be able to be totally healed. In Psalms 51, David began to acknowledge the Lord for his transgression. And there are some things we're suffering because of some things that we did. So we just need to go down and ask God to forgive us and turn away from. Not going to do a 360. A 360 will turn you back right into the spot you're at. We're going to do a 180-degree turn, which means I'm not going back to that spot.
Yeah.
So as we begin to look at, after we've acknowledged and we forget about who we are and we focus on who God is, we can begin to let the healing begin. And that's so important, because we begin to cast our cares on him. And then we can begin to go and praise and to worship. But there has to be a shift. And it's not just a shift. Sometimes people say, I'm just shifting my mind. No, it's more than a shift in your mind. Shift starts in our mind, but it has to become evident in our walk with God. So we need to begin
to
scriptures and positive things. Even though you may be sick, you need to be beginning to care that I'm healed, I'm made whole. We have to begin to realize there's life and death in the power of our tongue. So we need to begin to speak what God is showing us. I'm not always going to be suffering. I speak wellness in my life. I am complete in him. You know, we often tell women that want to get married, I say, get your hope checked. Even now, there's somebody who want to get married. While you going through your healing process, start getting your stuff together, because if God promised you a spouse, the spouse is coming. The worst thing is for God to give you a promise and you not to be prepared.
Yeah.
So today, you need to go into preparation mode. I remember when, because I knew before we got married, the bishop had a pastoral call. And in 98, when we had left Morgan Park and we went to Pastor K Church, we was on there for a year, and God started dealing with me about, you know, about pastoring myself and being in preparation. I started making baptismal clothes. I got the lace and linen and stuff for the communion table. Whatever, I was building up our spiritual hope chest. And God said we had to pastor. So my first act was, before we went out, I went and got lace. and the fabric that I sewed, and I made the covering for the communion table. That was an act of faith. Now, if some, I dare anybody who's crazy enough to believe God can do what he said he's going to do, do something today to show that I believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Even if it's just bad,
oh, yes.
A little something, I'm starting my hope chest. I'm starting my spiritual hope chest. I'm starting my natural hope chest because God said it's going to happen. And stuff's going to happen so quick. And that's what I'm finding out. It's stuff, when God starts doing stuff, it's happening so quick. You don't have hardly have time to catch your breath. So if God told you I'm sending you before the nation, it's time now. Get your clothes together, get your luggage together, get your towels together. So when they start calling, all you got to do is put stuff in the suitcase. I told, the stuff's going to start happening so crazy, you're not going to be able to go home and say, I'm going to wash the clothes up and take them back with me. No, you can, sometimes you have to drop this one suitcase up and take the next suitcase. Somebody has to do your laundry for you. So you got to have more than enough stuff to travel. Because that's how God is doing things right now.
Yeah.
So we need to understand that in this season of this year of double blessing, that God is doing great things. But on the flip side of it, we need to understand that just like God is accelerating blessings, we can't afford to get out of line, because the other side of that is he's also accelerating punishment. So we, that's who's in the body of Christ, have to make sure we stay in line. Because I think that's Acts 17, when they had the statue to the unknown God, and they said that God winked at it, but he's no longer winking. And during this season, it's dangerous. You're going to have to be all the way right or get out the way, because a hypocrite is not going to carry. God said, I'm, because of what I need to do for the church, and I got to do a quick work, he said, I got to move all blockage. He's moving all blockage so that his blessings can flow freely. Amen?
Yes. Yeah, so. Amen.
I think I'm finished, evangelist.
Amen. Baby, are you there? I know he's on mute.
Evangelist, mind, can I make an announcement, if you don't mind?
Yes, please do.
On August the 15th and 16th, this year, I will be having my Turning Pain into Power conference, and the theme is Be Thou Made Whole. It will be at the Doubletree in Oak Brook, Illinois. The information is on Facebook. But if anybody's interested, I would be glad to have you all. And also, on June the 13th, our church has given us our first appreciation service. Elder Chair Holiday is facilitating that. That service is going to be held at another Chance Assembly, which is our home church, where this girl, David T.K., is the pastor. And he will be preaching in Tennessee.
Amen.
Robbie.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Wait, honey. She was making an announcement.
Okay.
Okay, Elder Tierra with me announced also that on June 13th, the church has given us our first appreciation service, and she's coordinating that effort. It's going to be held at another Chance Assembly at 5138 West Vision. That's our home church. District David C.K. will be preaching along with Apostle Robert C. Peter. They're doing a tag team. I think it's going to be a mess that night, because those are two preachers. So we would love anyone that wants to come for free to come.
Would post that on the They Overcame group page for me, Overseer, if you would post that on that page.
Okay.
I saw it, and I usually what I do is I will share it on that page, but if you could post it yourself, that would be good. And then put your post. You can post on that group page, They Overcame, and let everybody know, because everybody that's on there may not necessarily be a friend of mine. They may just be on the group, on the group page. And so, amen. What such a blessing. Babe, go ahead.
Amen. I was just responding to you. I've been listening in and being blessed by all the things that were said, and certainly taking to heart the words that you spoke concerning us as well. And we know that just within the last few weeks, one of the visions that I do have as far as ministry, or that my wife and I have as far as ministry, I don't know, begin to speak it to a few people, and the word got back to our pastor, and who immediately called us for lunch. So basically the senior pastors of that organization called us, and you know, excited. We heard about what, you know, God is planning in your mind, and we want you to do it, and let us know what we need to do to help you. So that's really a confirmation. And then even yesterday I was doing some reading. There's some reading that our pastors are requiring me to do as well. And the first chapter that I picked up, the first book that I picked up in reading that chapter just on yesterday, there were just words that spoke to me, spoke to my spirit concerning our ministry. And just today, that was even a confirmation that now is the time, and we're saying yes to the Lord. I say we. I guess I can speak for my wife and I, but we're saying yes, and look for the fruition of what God's going to do, because I'm excited about it. He's even daily adding new dimensions to what that vision is. So I just know that when in faith I get started and just begin to know more and more about my God, it'll be just like he said to Ezekiel, that we'll do exploits. And I'm just looking forward to those great things that'll be done in the name of Jesus for the people of God in the kingdom of God. So thank you for those words of just that word of prophecy, that word of knowledge, and word of confirmation that we're ready to go. Amen.
Amen. And as I was listening to you, I was reminded of the when we were prophesied about a house, and how I started going out like you, preparing, buying boxes to pack stuff that we weren't using. And it took us, actually, it was 7 years before that came into fruition. And it was, I don't know if you remember, overseer, that bishop, we the move was out of the state to Georgia. And Bishop said, well, he said, I've been praying for you all for a house, because, you know, I know you get that prophecy. He said, but I'm going to have to start praying now that the Lord bless the people with, you know, to stay here, not to be going no place. Bishop said, neither the Lord is answering prayer, but he not, you know, I haven't been specific enough. So, amen, we receive those words. We receive those words. And just on this week, I talked with Chris, and I was telling him that he, you know, you still have a bullseye on the back, on your back, because I said, you may not know who you are in God, but the devil knows who you are, and that's why he keeps, you know, fighting you and coming against you. And so he said, I know, Mom, I know. So it was just thank the Lord for that confirmation of about Chris and the boys, and all of the boys. I know that God has a mighty, mighty, mighty work, you know, for our family, period. Yes. So we just thank God. Thank God that, you know, you graciously accepted
We didn't even talk. You saw on Facebook that I had replayed the last time that you were on, and through that, the Lord impressed on me to have you to come on, because our program is not really one for preaching. Our program is for, you know, just giving God glory and hearing the praise. But as I tell the Lord, you know, when I'm praying, that this is your broadcast, Father, and whatever you do is okay with me. However you do it, it's we're open, because that's what, you know, that's what we're here for. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Overseer Patricia Holiday, for coming on and letting God use you. It was such a blessing. And be looking forward. I'm definitely going to post this. My husband has to do it, because I don't know how to post this on Facebook, this message that you preach. So you can be looking for that and alert people, because we, you know, that we have people that listen, and we have people that listen in, you know, on the radio, or they're listening in to the archives. They'll go into the archives and hear. But this is one that I feel that needs to be heard by everyone. So we're going to open that up so that we can share it, share this awesome word with the world, with the world.
Well, I appreciate you having me on again. It was truly a blessing. I know there's a lot of other people who chose, so I thank you for the opportunity to share my testimony and ministry on your program.
Amen. Amen. We're in a season now where we just. You know, I always felt this way. I always loved testimony service. And we're in a season now, like you were saying, we have to be open and we have to do the things that God is telling us to do. I could have said, you know, when I felt that unction, you know, to ask you to speak. No, that's not what this broadcast is about, you know. But I have told ministers that. You know, that they're welcome to come on, but I don't want them to come on and preach. I want them to come on and give a testimony. But the Lord, you know, impressed on me that there was a word, you know, and he didn't even put it like that. He just impressed on me to ask you to come on and speak. So I thank God for being obedient to what the Lord was saying, because this is not my broadcast. This is just, I'm just here as a conduit to get out the praises of God and now the word of God. So you are our first minister that ministered on the broadcast, and however the Lord wants to take this broadcast, we're open. We're open. We just want to be, you know, useful in the hands of God. And we thank God, and we're looking forward to Elder Sierra next weekend coming on and speaking a word for us. So I'm just excited about what God is doing in the lives of his people. And I'm just excited about, you know, what God is doing in our lives. Just excited and so thankful for friends, you know, that we can call on and ask to do different things. And so we find that in my eye, and I don't know if I said this before that you heard me, but I've said it many times, in my eye, that I love testimony service, so that when testimony service came up, 99% of the time, I was given a testimony, and I just, you know, felt like people would just be, I don't know how we're going to handle all the calls, but that's not the way it's been. But the testimonies that have gone forth have been so awesome and phenomenal, you know, what God has done in the lives of his people, until it gives us strength. It's, you know, I know that it gives other people strength, but it gives us strength, you know, to know what God is doing. So, amen, amen. And we're going to ask, baby, did you have anything else that you wanted to say to our dear sister? I know he has just muted.
Okay, sorry, I was muted and some other things were going on, and I think I heard my name. What were you asking me to say?
Is there anything else that you wanted to say to our sister? Because I'm going to ask her to close us in prayer.
No, just praise the Lord, and just glad to have you part of our broadcast today, and just thankful for what God is doing. And I was looking through your through the website. That's I think you stated that as www.lulu, that's lulu.com/power. And I did plug that in, and there's some awesome works and books on there. Hard copies as well as downloadable books, and just encourage everyone to go on there and take a look. I mean, just looking at the titles and the topics, I can see that God is really using you to speak to his people. Amen.
I'm going, we're going to post that. I'll make sure I post that website for your book. And we just want to, you know, we're here. We want to spread the blessings to everyone, and we want to let the world know. And I was sharing last week, I think that I had someone that was supposed to be coming on and giving a testimony, but I said that let the world know. And they came back with the world. Like, yeah, the world, because God has opened up. I wasn't around when television first came out, but I know that in the church world they were afraid of the television. They thought it was of the devil. But later I heard ministers saying that it was a facility that God opened up for the church, but we didn't take advantage of it. We're taking advantage of this way to get his word out and to get his praises out. So we don't shy away from social media. I just, the stuff that I don't want to read or the stuff that I think is, you know, not so good, I just overlook that. But I love the fact that we can connect, because we reconnected. We've been gone from Illinois for 14 years, and then you said that you even left Morgan Park before we did, which I didn't know that you had done that. I don't remember. The last year that we were there, though, was kind of foggy because Al was gone and I was there trying to take care of, you know, getting our house prepared to sell. But we were able to reconnect through the social media. So I just thank God for it. I thank God for it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but Elder Baguette used to always say, eat the meat and throw the bones away.
That's it.
So if it's something that's not appealing to you, you know, but don't cut people off. And I've admonished people, you know, things that I say, I don't want to hear. You know, if you put something else on your Facebook status that is contrary to what I, you know, believe or what I like, I'm going to unfriend you. And I'm like, why? Why would you take your influence away from them?
Right.
Your influence, your godly influence will overcome the influences that there are other negative influences. So why would you take your influence away from them? But anyway, I'm rambling on, but thank God for social media, and I thank God for you coming on. And Overseer Patricia Holliday, would you close us in prayer? And if you have any words, ending words, you go ahead.
I'll just close this out in prayer again. Thank you so much for having me on. And I just believe that everyone that listened, that walk in faith based on what was said, that God is going to have do some great things. And I believe you're going to have some mighty testimonies coming forth within the next 7 days. Starting next week, you're going to have some testimonies about what God has done. Through the radio broadcast. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you right now for this opportunity to minister and share your word with your people, God. God, we thank you right now for your anointing meeting us, because without your anointing, it would have been fruitless. We ask you right now, God, that you will bless the Barnes and their endeavor to fulfill their destiny and call in the kingdom, oh God. And God, we ask that you will bless everyone that has been a partaker of this broadcast and those that may even listen afterward when it's reposed, oh God. We thank you in advance, oh God, for shedding doors that does not need to be opened in our lives, oh God.
Yes.
And God, we pray right now for releasing the blessings that's in the heavenly realm into the eighth earthly realm into manifestation, oh God. We praise you right now for it. We know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. And God, we thank you right now for blessing each and every one of us in our individual homes, in our individual churches, and helping us to become who you have called us to be, oh God. And God, we thank you right now, oh God, for lifting up us above our circumstances so that we can see who you are and walk in the fullness and the power that you have equipped us with, oh God. We thank you right now, oh God, for bringing those back into the church that have been hurt and healing up their wounds on today, oh God. And God, we bless you right now for the reheart in a special way, oh God. God, we bless you right now, oh God, for doing more than we can ask or think, oh God. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you again, and please give us send our love to your family, to the girls and to your husband, and we pray traveling mercies for him. You know, if he's away from the home, God will protect him and cover him with the blood. I saw where Apostle Paul Shields posted, I think within the last couple of weeks, that we should cover our family. Just a reminder for us to cover our families every day with the blood of Jesus. And so, you know, we just plead the blood of Jesus over your family and over your husband as he travels. And we give God the glory for all that he is doing. And again, we say tune in to the broadcast of Evangelist Adrian Bernard, Apostle. I call her Pastor, but I do recognize that she does have a Apostle calling on her life because of the things that she's demonstrated. It's through you know the demonstration of your life that speak. You know, that people can see what God is doing in your life. So we tune into her broadcast. I know that you're working, you're teaching at that time. So I'm sure that she would want you to be on her broadcast. But it's 3 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock Central Time that her broadcast is on, 1 o'clock Pacific Time and 4 o'clock Eastern Time, New Destiny Ministries at this same number. But if you get a chance to tune in, tune in. And we just love you. We love you. We love you. And go ahead.
I said, well, I'll be on break probably in June, then I'll probably come in, listen in after doing some break.
Amen. Amen. I will tell her. Yeah. So you don't teach in the summer?
I'm
okay.
Off working
some. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, great. I will definitely let her know. I will definitely keep her in your prayers. She has just made a transition from California back home to New Orleans, and she's excited. God has already opened doors for her, and she's planning on having a worldwide conference.
Okay.
She's not calling it a conference, but
at the conference. And God has already started opening doors, and she asked God, I'm sharing this little bit of her testimony, she asked God, why would you bring me back to a place that has been a source of, she had two children, a son and a daughter. Her daughter was killed there. Her, I don't know if it was her husband or her boyfriend, killed her. And then her children found her body when they came home from school. And her son is in prison, and she was on her way to go and visit him. And God told her that he wanted, like you were saying, he wanted to let everyone see how he was going to bless her in her home where she had so much pain. So we're just excited about that, excited about what God is doing in her life, and that we get a chance to be a part of it. She and I became friends. Well, our families became friends in Georgia. She was living in Georgia at the same time we were. And so it's just exciting. It's just exciting. And then we were able to reconnect via Facebook. So, you know, God is just doing awesome things and doing divine connections. And I wish that she would post, as you were speaking, it reminded me a lot of a minister, a liberal Democrat, was her speaker, I think it was Wednesday, and he was talking about how we need to come together, how you need to get a group together, people that you can trust. He said you can't share your intimate things with everybody, but he said you should have a group. He said the body, he did the natural and the spiritual. And he said the body, when you have an injury, the blood comes together from all over the body, you know, to clot up so that it would get a chance to heal. It was an awesome, awesome word that the elder preached. But I was thinking, as you were speaking, you were saying some of the same things, and it's just confirming, you know, what I had heard from his broadcast. So anyway, thank God. Thank God for you, Overseer. And tell Tierra I will be getting in touch with her. I'm still praying and hope that the Lord has given her a topic to expound with us on, but I'm still praying. So you pray along with us and, you know, let us know what the Lord is saying to you about what she should speak on next week.
All right.
Amen.
I'll do that. All right.
Okay. Amen. Well, God bless. God bless. And this has been your host, Elder Albert, and Minister Billy Burns, and we thank you for joining us today. And we're going to end with Micah Stampley, Overcome. And God bless until next week.
God bless. Thank you so much.
Suffered as if he did. Lift our voice.